All right, good morning, everybody. We're in the book of 3 John. We're going to be picking up in verse 5, going through verse 11 or verse 8. Today's title is Faithful. And we're going to be talking about different ways that we can become faith, how we can be faithful to God, and how we can keep God's commandments and keep His word going. But ultimately, what we're going to be talking about is how we're faithful to Him, when how we treat with other people. Because it's great that we're faithful to Him and with us being obedient. It's great that we're faithful to Him in our relationships. But how is it that we treat people we don't know? How is it that we treat the strangers in our life? Because that will ultimately determine how we... That will determine how faithful we really are to God. Because it's easy to be faithful or to be nice to those that you know, those that you come in contact with every single day. But where we can truly test our faithfulness to God, our relationship with God, is how is it that we treat those that we don't know? Do we treat them like garbage? Do we look down upon them? Do we think that they are inferior to us inadvertently or consciously? How is it that we look at people that we don't know? And that's what John is writing to Gaius about in this section, is how he took care of the missionaries that would come. And we'll discuss a little bit more about missionaries then as opposed to missionaries now. But picking up in verse 5, says, "Dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they are strangers to you." So, missionaries then and missionaries now are a lot different. Well, a lot different here in the United States, because they still have these type of missionaries in third world countries and other parts of the world. Is where a teacher will go from location to location to location, just traveling around, going to different churches, trying to encourage them, trying to lift them up, trying to help them that the best they can. And we see that in places like India and Cambodia and even in Africa and some places even in Eastern Europe, we'll find those type of missionaries. The missionaries that we know of, they're abroad. They usually go to one location. They minister in one location. And we support them from abroad. But what was happening in this case is as a teacher would come through or a missionary would come through, you would then support them. You would open up your house to them. You would provide a meal for them. Because a lot of times they didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. If it was a couple days between churches that they were going to go to or different congregations that they're going to go to, they didn't know where their food was going to come from unless the previous church gave it to them. This is a lot different than the non-believer missionaries or religious teachers. And we'll get to that a little bit on how they take their special tithes and offerings, how they take their payment as opposed to how believers should. But what he's saying is here, he's saying, look, you're being faithful to God when you invite these people in, when you take care of them, when you show hospitality to them. And even though they are strangers, even though you don't know who they are, you know that they're a believer, you know that they come from God, and that is enough for you. And even non-Christian missionaries, what they would do is a lot of times in the Greek culture, because they had so many of these people going around, is they would kind of have it set up to where you, your friends or your family knew people in different regions. And if you went there, you can show them proof that you're part of this family and you can stay with them. or you can go to a certain government building and they can find a place for you. Because the inn, the hotels that they had, they were known to be rather nasty, flea infested, gross places. And so nobody wanted to stay there unless they absolutely had to. And so they had all that set up for them. And so as they were going around, they had a place that they can go to. They had people that could take care of them. But believers, they didn't. And so they had to rely upon other believers to be hospitable to them. And if non-believers have people that are hospitable to them, how much more so than we should be in our hospitality? We can find in several different parts. For instance, in 1 Peter 4:9, if you want, it's just a couple pages to the left. In 1 Peter 4:9, it says, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Peter's writing to, writing this letter, and he's telling them how to live like a godly person. If we go back just a few verses, starting in verse 7, he's saying, look, the end of the world is coming soon, therefore be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to sleep or a place to stay. So we show our love by opening up our homes. Now, we don't just open up our homes to anybody and everybody. That's not what they're saying here, and that's not what John or Paul is getting at, or Peter. What they're referring to is other believers. If another believer needs help, provide the help for them. If another believer is having a hard time, then provide a meal. Take something off of their load so that they can have some sort of peace and some sort of rest from the craziness that's going on in their life. That's why one reason why we have that needs board out there is if anybody has a need and you haven't voiced it to us, how are we to know how to help you? And so we want you to use that needs board if you need help with anything, big, small, whatever it may be. If you need prayer, put it on there. If you need help as far as finances, let us know. If you need help as far as food, let us know. If you need help as far as clothing, let us know. Whatever the need is, we want to know so that way we can actually help. We're not mind readers. Christians are never meant to be mind readers. We are to make our needs and our requests known to the body. We are to be helping each other. Not in a way that we make the person that is asking for help feel small, but in the way that we make the person that's asking for help feel loved, feel cherished, feel appreciated. We don't help to build ourselves up. We're not hospitable to be proud about it. We're hospitable because we're being faithful. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. If you go a little bit more to the left, you'll find it. So Hebrews 13, 2 says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. When we're being hospitable to people, we don't know who we're being hospitable to. And it doesn't matter who we're being hospitable to. And that's what he's saying is that you, by not knowing who you're being hospitable to, by being hospitable to strangers, you're entertaining angels. I don't think what they're referring to is that angels were actually the one that they're being hospitable to. But the fact that what we do entertains them and the fact that they are happy about it because it pleases God. Angels are there as a messenger for God. They are a servant of God just like we are. And so when we do something good and it pleases God, it pleases them. Much like when a church or a believer does something good for God that we know pleases God, it should also please us. We should be looking at it and rejoicing with them. And when somebody is mourning, we need to be mourning with them. When somebody is going through a hard time, we should be the first people that they reach out to. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 13. This one you have to flip even further to the left. It says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. So are we eager to practice hospitality? Are we eager to help other people? Or does it become a burden for us to help other people? There are times where, yes, I love to help people. But then there are other times, because I'm human, because I'm flawed, when somebody asks for help, I'm just like, really? Right now? Out of all the times that you need help, it's right now? I know that that's not the way or the mentality that I'm always supposed to have, but we are flawed. We are incomplete. We have our problems. We have our mess-ups. We need to own those and realize that it's something that we have to learn from or we have to grow through. I will tell you, I'm a lot more eager to help people that need help now than I was even 5 years ago. Definitely more than when I first became a believer. We all have something that we have to work on. We all have this mentality that my time is more important than helping other people. Now, I'm not saying that every single time that you have time off, you need to be finding somebody that needs help. But what I'm getting at is that we have to be ready for when somebody does need help to be able to go and help them. Not every time we're going to be able to. We have to understand that as well. There are times where you're going to be busy in your own life that when somebody asks for help, you can't just put down everything. But you help in the way that you can and when you can. The biggest difference is that when somebody asks you for help, what thoughts go through your mind? Are you excited about the opportunity, or are you dreading the responsibility? And then as people, they grow and they become leaders, we can find in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, from Romans, you have to flip back to the right. One of those small books that you can just easily overpass. Come on. Helps if I can get to it. 1 Timothy 3:2. And this has to do with leaders. This is how leaders are to mentally think. Deacons and elders, this is how they are to think. And I'm going to pick up in verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, this is trustworthy saying, if anyone aspires to be an elder, he desires an honorable position. So it's not saying that we should never desire a greater position than what we have or a position of more responsibility. It's saying, no, we should desire those things because it's an honorable position. It's something that God wants us to have. And so then in verse 2 it says, so an elder must be a man whose life is above reproach. A person that when you look at, it's not that you don't find faults. It's that you can't hold faults against them. Because a person that is above reproach is one that is always going to be pointing to Jesus Christ. One that is always going to be humbly coming before people. Not boasting about their wrongs, or not boasting, but instead are showing the humility of Christ. They are above reproach. They must be faithful to his wife. Okay, don't be cheating. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. All right, so he must exercise self-control. This could mean in a lot of different things. This could be self-control as far as money. This could be self-control as far as indulgences. This could be self-control as far as time. This could be self-control as far as desires. This could be meaning a lot of things. But the biggest thing is that you need to be in control of what you're doing. Doesn't mean that you can't make mistakes. They must live wisely. Don't live like a fool. Don't just go out and party. Don't be two-faced. Don't do things that are contradictory to the Bible. And have a good reputation. When people think of you, what do they think of? If I were to go up to people that you knew and ask them, how is so-and-so? Tell me about them. Are they going to tell me about the drinking? Are they going to tell me about the smoking? Are they going to tell me about the parties? Are they going to be... What are they going to say about you? Because ultimately what they say about you is really what they say about Christ. And if you put a person in a position of leadership and they don't have a good reputation, then really what they're doing is they're making God's name trash. He must enjoy having guests in his home. That's the point that I wanted to mainly get at, is the fact that we have to enjoy having guests in our home, especially if you want to be a leader. And he must be able to teach. He has to know the Word of God enough to be able to lead other people into the Word of God. And then in Titus chapter 1, verse 8, it's very similar because it's another kind of list of what the qualifications of a leader. So in verse 8 it says, rather he must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must love what is good. He must live wisely and be just. He must live a devout and disciplined life. He must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught. Then he will be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they are wrong. So we have to be ready to invite people in. And that was a big thing in the early churches, that they brought a lot of people into their homes. They didn't have a set church, a set building that they were in. A lot of times, the early church, they met in different homes. And so if you didn't like people in your homes, then you're not going to be very inviting. How many of you get stressed out when you know that guests are coming over? I know that in my house, that those are probably the most stressful times. Is that when we know that people are coming over. It doesn't matter how clean the house already is, the house can always be cleaner. When I was a kid, there was always a big emphasis if grandma was coming over. If grandma was coming over, the house had to be spotless, because we didn't want her coming over and then cleaning even more. But regardless of how clean we got the house, grandma would always find something to clean. She would always find something that needs to be done. But just because you have those the stress out moments, you have the on edge, the panic of people coming over. Doesn't mean that you don't like people coming over. Allison and I, we love it when people come over. We love having people in our homes. Now, a lot of times, people don't come back. Don't know why. I think it's maybe the one dish that we always go to, the layered enchiladas. I don't know. One time we invited people over, and they came over. We had a good meal, and at the time, our bathroom doorknob would kind of get stuck. One of their kids went in there, shut the door to use the restroom, and couldn't get it back out because the handle got stuck. Yeah, we never heard from them again. They didn't come over after that. But we love it. We love having people over to play games. We love having people over for food. We love having people over. Once again, I'm not saying that as a boasting point, but it's something that we all should be at a point of, is that we are willing to invite people over to our home just to invite them over, just to hang out with them, just to have fellowship with them. And like I've shared with you guys before, that my door is open to anybody. You need help, you know where I live, you're always welcome to come by my house. Now understand, my house is not always the cleanest. There might be a big old mound of laundry because for some reason my kids wear clothes for 5 minutes and decide that they need to change it and then throw it in the hamper. And we don't even see that it's in the hamper until we go to wash our clothes and we're like, wait, it's only been 2 days since I've washed your clothes. Why do you have 2 full hampers? So yes, we go through a lot of laundry. Dishes might not always be clean right away. But we love having people over. It's one way that we look at is a form of ministry in our life. Sometimes getting people, meeting up with people is not necessarily the easiest thing to do. There are families that we try to meet up with, and something or another always happens on the day of or the day before you're supposed to meet up with them. But you keep trying. You keep going. Because eventually, someday, the schedule will meet up. It will line up. But the biggest thing is that we have to have those connections. We have to have that fellowship. We have to have that communion, that unity with each other in order to grow. And as you grow and you mature in Christ, He will work on you about different things. He will give you this longing to be connected with other people. And when we connect with other people, it's us being faithful to God. Going back to 3 John chapter 6. It goes on and says, they have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing such teachers in a manner that pleases God. Verse 7, for they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So this, the reason why he brings this up, because this is a direct contrast to how worldly or how the other Greek teachers accepted gifts. Other teachers, other missionaries, other religious people, as they would go around, they would get money from non-believers, from anybody, from the general public. They would go out and they would give their message out on the street. They would ask for people to give them money. And there are stories of some people within the Greek culture that would go and they would go into these big cities like Corinth, and they would go into other big cities, and what they would do is when they were done, they would leave with 7 sacks full of coin. Because that's how they made their living. And they would just take money from anybody and everybody. And what John's getting at here is that the believers are different. The believers take no money from Gentiles or non-believers. They'd only get their money from other believers. Why? Why would they not take money from non-believers? Well, one, it had to do with their message. Their message was very contradictory to the Greek theology. Greek theology believed in numerous different gods, and they weren't talking about any of the gods that those people would want to worship or those people would want to give money to. Two, if you took money, and this is how they looked at it, if you took money from a non-believer, it was as if you were communion with that non-believer. If that you agreed with that non-believer. That's how seriously they took their ministries, is that they chose wisely who they wanted to get money from or they wanted to get support from. Rarely do missionaries nowadays get money from non-believers. The only time that they do is usually when it's from family members that are non-believers. But most missionaries get their funding from other believers or churches. And that's the way that we need to look at it, is that we have an obligation to help them spread the word. And when we're helping them by giving them money to help them support them abroad, we are being faithful to God and we are taking part in their ministry. Who they reach out to, it's as if we are reaching out to them, because we're giving those people the opportunity. We don't support a bunch of missionaries here. We support three missionaries and a group. But the missionaries that we support, Wayne Lidbeck, as he goes to the different congregations in our area, I believe on some weeks he goes to three or four churches on a Sunday alone. And each time that he goes, because we help support him, it's counted to us as being there as well. Rod and Valerie in the Congo, when we give them money, it allows them to stay in the Congo to minister to all the different people around them. We are able to do that. And because we're able to do that, God looks at us as being faithful to Him for ministering out to them. And then, now her name is totally left my head. In Israel, Cheryl in Israel, the fact that she's there and she's ministering to all the different religions that are in that area, and the opportunities that she has there, God counts that towards us as well. Now, does that mean that's the only time that we should be sharing our faith? That's the only time that we should be ministering or giving out is when we're giving money? No, because we all have personal lives that we live. But when we do give to those that need it, such as missionaries, such as those that are living abroad, then we are being faithful to God. And we're showing hospitality to them. We're giving them an opportunity to do something that we can't. We are helping them in their ministry. And like I said, most of them don't receive money from non-believers. They're not like other non-profits that will get money from anybody and everybody and they're making millions of dollars. No, they make just enough to live off of. Missionaries don't go into the mission field to become rich. They go into the mission field knowing that's going to be hard, knowing that there's going to be times where they're just going to want to give up, knowing that they're going to have to be away from their family, knowing so many hardships are going to come up. But they do it because they're being faithful to God. and we give to them because we want to help them in their call that God has called them to. We want to help them be faithful to God. And in that sense, we are also being faithful to God. And so verse 8 says, "So we ourselves should support them so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth." We are partners with each other. We're partners with them. And so, what is it that you are doing today to reach out to those that need help? I'm not saying that we all need to leave and go and seek out people to help. But when people come your way that need your help, do you help them, or do you always come up with an excuse of not to help? Why not to help them? We all live busy lives, and we all have our own errands and our own lists of things to do. But I don't think I'm the only one that has a list of things to do that I haven't touched in like the last 6 months. There are aspects to that list that I do touch, but there are also stuff that has been on there that Allison has wanted me to do, or stuff that has been needed to be done around the house that I just haven't done, and it's not a priority. But as soon as somebody asks me for help, now that thing becomes a priority. I don't think I'm the only one that has those. The to-do things that are put on there for a rainy day to get me out of helping other people. The biggest thing is do we allow that list to dictate our lives? And it's hard. It's hard to get away from the family. It's hard to get away from your stuff that you have to do in order to go and help other people. But that's where, if you're in a relationship or you have family that you have to take care of, to where you guys have to come together and come to an understanding with each other that you have those opportunities. You have to look at those opportunities. I am very lucky in the fact that I have Allison that allows me to go and help other people. When people call and they need prayer, or they call and they need me to go, Allison allows me to go. She doesn't make me feel bad for leaving the family. She doesn't make me feel like garbage or make me feel as though I'm neglecting the family. That's where your relationship with other people has to be tied in with your relationship with God. If they are not tied in together, then the other people in your life won't understand the sacrifices that you have to make. They won't understand the commitment that is beyond yourself and beyond the family that we need to fulfill. It all goes back to that list that I gave out a while back that has to do with, one of them was thinking yourself less important than others is a way that we show love. And we have to think that way. And as you mature in Christ, it becomes easier to think that way. But if all we're ever doing is thinking about my own, about yourself, then you're missing the point of being a Christian. You're missing the point of being a believer. You're missing a big aspect of what it means to be a Christian. Because we are to be different than the world. The world says to look out for yourself. The world says to harbor everything and hold on to everything and become kind of a hoarder of your own time. Put yourself first. Whereas God is saying, no, you can't live that way. You have to live where other people are more important than you. That doesn't mean that we have to be abused and taken advantage of. We do have to be conscientious of that. But at the same time, we shouldn't also be afraid that everybody that needs help is just taking advantage of us. We have to be ready to help. We have to be ready to be hospitable. We have to be ready to do something. Us as a church, we have to be ready. Individually, we have to be ready. And so where are you mentally? Where are you at spiritually? Are you being faithful to God and helping others? Or are you being disobedient and neglecting others? If you're being disobedient and neglecting, God says, look, it's not too late. And start out small. You don't have to, it's not one of those things that's go big or go home. No, start out small. Help people with small things that they need help with. Move your way up. God doesn't want us to just jump full force into the waves. When we see the story of Jesus walking on the water and he calls Peter out to him, he doesn't say, Peter, now jump out of the boat and run to me. He says, step out of the boat. Find that you have sure footing. Then walk to me. Come. And as Peter was walking out there, he started looking at the waves around him. He started sinking. He cried out to God, and God reached down his hand and pulled him back up, and they walked back to the boat together and crawled in. He wants you to take steps, not just to dive completely in. But it all starts with you trusting him. It all starts with you being faithful to him. If you're doing it for your own glory, for your own pride, for your own whatever, then you're not doing it for him. We need to be faithful to God. We need to be looking at a way that we can please him. And one of the ways that we can do it is by helping other people. And so if you're being disobedient to God, repent. Turn to him. Ask him for help. Ask him for the strength to be able to help others. Ask him to renew your mind day by day, to strip away more of you, to strip away more of your pride, to strip away more of whatever it is that's hindering you from helping others so that you can get out of your own way. If you're being obedient to him and you are helping other people, praise God. Take honor in the fact that you're helping other people. Know that you are being faithful to God if what you're doing is to please God. God is others-centered. It's his rules that we play by. He doesn't want us to be self-centered. He doesn't want us to be the center of the universe. What he wants is for us to have a relationship with him and showing our love by helping others. You can't say that you love God or that you love God's people if you're not doing something to help God's people when they need it. In Romans, it talks about how we need to be suffering when those that suffer. We need to be rejoicing with those that rejoice. We need to be glad with those that are happy. We need to be crying with those that are sorrowful. We have to be conscientious of people around us so that way we know how to best minister to them. And in return, usually when you help other people, you yourself are being ministered to. Because the Holy Spirit will rejuvenate you. The Holy Spirit will give you the strength, the encouragement, the blessings that come along with it. God doesn't want you to do things for free. He wants to reward you. how those rewards come about is completely different. Each person is different. Each situation is different. It's not like a job to where if you go and you fix a roof, you know that you're going to get paid X amount of money. With God, you just know that you're going to get reimbursed. You're going to get the reward that comes to you. And that's part of us being faithful, is knowing that God is not going to repay us with bad. That He's going to take care of us. That He's going to provide for us. A lot of it has to do with us just being willing to do what God has called us to do. Let's pray. God, we just praise You for this morning. I just ask that You'd go before us. Allow us just to see where we can help others. Allow us just to acknowledge that You are in control and allow us to be faithful to You. Strengthen us, encourage us, open our eyes a little bit wider to the world around us. And just help us encourage other people. Allow us to help other people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hope you all have a good day, and hopefully we'll see you guys next week.